regulation should not apply to a one-person accountancy or four-person lawn maintenance service. Read, study. Emotional Design, Why We Love or Hate Everyday Things by Donald Norman. Enchantment, The Art of Changing Heart, Minds, and Actions by Guy Kawasaki. Love Marks, The Future Beyond Brands by Kevin Roberts. The Business Romantic, Give Everything, Quantify Nothing, and Create Something Greater Than Yourself by Tim Liebereit. 11.4.1 Design, The Last Words, 1. Rikyu was watching his son show on as he swept and watered the garden path. Not clean enough, said Rikyu, when Shoan had finished his task, and bade him try again. After a weary hour, the son turned to Rikyu. Father, there is nothing more to be done. The steps have been washed for the third time. The stone planters and the trees are well sprinkled with water. Moss and lichens are shining with a fresh verdure. Not a twig, not a leaf have I left on the ground. Young fool, chided the tea master, that is not the way a garden path should be swept. Saying this, Rikyu stepped into the garden, shook a tree, and scattered over the garden gold and crimson leaves, scraps of the brocade of autumn. What Rikyu demanded was not cleanliness alone, but the beautiful and natural also. Kokuzo Okakura, The Book of Tea. In her inspiring book, The Art of Imperfection, Véronique Vienne adds her own version of the scattered leaves. In the Zen tradition, wabi-sabi objects, carefully crafted to be intentionally imperfect, impermanent, or incomplete, are considered most beautiful, their humble elegance transcending fads and fashions. Likewise, Kevin Roberts in Love Marks adds, when we were working through the essentials of a love mark, mystery was always at the top of the list. Breakaway design equals functionality plus aesthetics plus spirit, heart, the brocade of autumn, imperfection, mystery. Sign in a recording studio in Vermont. Your most perfect take is not the take you should keep. The one you should keep will have imperfections, but the imperfections will in fact best convey your passion, your love, your compelling need to tell the song's story. 11.4.2 Design, The Last Words, 2. Only one company can be the cheapest. All others must use design. Rodney Fitch, Fitch & Company. From Insights, Definitions of Design, The Design Council, United Kingdom. Chapter 12. The Relentless Pursuit of TGRs, Things Gone Right, and 7 Other Value-Added Strategies. 8 Value-Added Strategies. 1. Maximize TGRs, Things Gone Right. Explicitly manage the TGR process. Little is more important than big. 2. Add services of every conceivable flavor. United Parcel Service becomes United Problem Solvers. Every internal unit becomes a value-adding professional service firm. 3. Social business. Who? Everyone. No halfway. 4. Big data. Mammoth opportunities. Under-examined downsides. 5. IoT. Internet of Things. IOE. Internet of Everything, a first-order game-changer. 6. Underserved Markets 1. Women as overwhelmingly predominant customer for everything. 7. Underserved Markets 2. The enormous aging market. Oldies are beautiful, with lots of years to go and have all the money. 8. The big duh. Our people. Fully engaged. Innovators all, number one value-added driver. I make no suggestion that this list is complete. But I am dead certain that each of these well-tested ideas is important. In fact, very important. And each one encompasses a humongous opportunity in terms of customer fulfillment and delight, enterprise growth, and profitability. Excellence, dividend, raison d'etre, a great way to keep and add jobs. Moreover, working at some combination of these strategies in the age of same-same looks like every other car app is 10 times more important than ever before. Products and services, differentiate or die. Workers, distinct or extinct. All yours, a long list. Cherry pick to your heart's content. Maximize TGRs, things gone right. Explicitly manage the TGR process. 12.1, the TGR narrative. 12.1.1, TGRs, things gone right. Addressing the great 880 chasm. Customers describing their service experience as superior, 8%. Companies describing the service experiences they provide as superior, 80%. Bain & Company, survey of 362 companies. Yikes. 40-60? Sure. But 880? One response to the great 880 chasm. Maximize TGRs, things gone right. Consider TGWs, things gone wrong. In past days, TGWs were the automotive industry's measure of quality or lack thereof. Car types were formally graded for quality via their TGW score. TGWs were damned important when I co-wrote In Search of Excellence in 1982. In short, the American auto industry was getting hammered in large measure because Japanese auto producers offered up vehicles with noticeably fewer TGWs, that is better quality, than ours. Segue to 2018. Most things at every price point work pretty well. I got into trouble, more or less intentionally, a couple of years ago by saying in public, in Frankfurt, Germany, that the quality in terms of TGWs of a Subaru is about as high as the quality of a Mercedes. For example, my 2007 Subaru Outback has logged 156,000 miles as I write and shows zero signs of being on its last or even next to last legs. Yes, minimizing TGWs is essential, but top quality is not the differentiator it once was. Consider the flip side of the coin, what I call TGRs or things gone right. That is, the differentiation battlefield has effectively switched to maximizing the good stuff rather than minimizing the bad stuff. You might even go so far as to call it the age of TGRs. I'd go that far. 12.1.2. TGRs. Focus on the experience, way beyond satisfaction or satisfactory. Experiences are as distinct from services as services are from goods. Joe Pyne and Jim Gilmore. The experience economy. Work is theater and every business a stage. I freely admit that when I was first introduced to the experience notion, some 2 decades ago, I snickered. Sounds like a good way for consultants to earn a few extra bucks is what went through my mind. But now I've come full circle. Focusing on the functional and emotional way in which we experience, connect with, a service or product is of surpassing importance and is indeed on an entirely different planet from satisfaction, which, after all, is derived from satisfactory, that is, not bad. At our core, we're a coffee company, but the opportunity we have to extend the brand is beyond coffee. It's entertainment. Howard Schultz, Starbucks. When Pete Rozelle ran the NFL, it was a football business and a good one. Now, it's truly an entertainment business. Paul Much, investment advisor. Jungle Jim's International Market, Fairfield, Ohio. An adventure in shoppertainment. George Whalen, retail superstars. Boston Globe. Why did you, Berkshire Hathaway, Buy Jordan's furniture. Warren Buffett. Jordan's is spectacular. It's all showmanship. 12.1.3. TGRs. Focus on the experience. Where the hell are the cars? That is, why aren't there cars in the showroom? Showroom equals best ever floral display. I learned a lot from Carl Sewell. He has a string of successful car dealerships, among them his Keystone store, Sewell Village Cadillac in Dallas. Go into the dealership, as I did, and you'd not find any cars in the showroom. Huh? The signature instead was glorious displays of flowers. The showroom design came courtesy Carl's pal, the late Stanley Marcus. Yes, the Marcus and Neiman Marcus. You'd also find a wonderfully appointed sitting room, with a video always running. The video was not peddling cars. It was introducing you to the dealership itself. The undisguised message was, "Welcome to the Sewell Village family. We will take care of your transportation and logistics needs." Carl and his colleagues wanted you and your family to join up. When you were finished with the showroom that had no cars, it was off to the service bay, where, for starters, and to repeat the old saw, one could eat off the floor. Touring the service bay was a big part of the intro to the family. Among other things, you'd be introduced to several of the personable, remember hiring at Southwest, caring, being warm, etc., and well-uniformed mechanics. Carl overlooked nothing. Stepping backward in the process, he even bought a street sweeper. Hey, the first thing the prospect would see is the road in front of the dealership, right? It's not that the city of Dallas did a lousy job on the streets. It's that Carl wanted to orchestrate the entry as well as, say, Disney does in its theme parks. Disney lavishes special attention on the parking process. Among other things, employment selection for parking lot attendance is rigorous to a fault. Why all this bother? Duh. First and last impressions overwhelm all other variables, including the theme park rides themselves, in assessing an experience. I've overlooked a zillion things. For more, see Carl's book, Customers for Life. The bottom line. Carl Sewell has been a longtime master of things gone right. 12.1.4. Emphasizing TGRs. Designate a CXO. Even in a small enterprise, designate a full-time or part-time CXO, Chief Experience Officer. A key word here is small. The experience thing applies as much or more to a sole proprietorship as it does to Starbucks or Jungle Gyms. Emphasizing experience. Suggestion. For every engineer and marketer on the experience design and development team, you need an artist, psychologist, musician, theater director, and perhaps a shaman. Well, maybe I'm only half serious about the shaman, but I'm sure you get the idea. Creating a fabulous experience is not likely to come all that naturally to an engineer or MBA. Fact, not hypothesis. Sorry. At least the snarky comment comes from an engineer MBA. Me. 12.1.5. Beyond engineering, sustainable emotional engagement, or lack thereof. I've been having some trouble with the experience marketing idea. The possible implication, as I see it, is that you can engineer an excellent experience. Certainly an excellent experience has superb systems lying beneath the surface. But when, say, the systems rule the roost, the trouble starts. Experiences that stick are about emotional engagement. And emotional engagement is about intangibles, about artistry, about surprise, about the smiles the Mini Cooper S engendered. The experience fetish has, alas and all too often, gone metric. Metrics for this, metrics for that. Metrics, metrics, metrics. I recently went to my car dealership for a regular checkup. They did a fine and timely job. But no fewer than three times, the service boss reminded me to fill out my online assessment of the visit and asked me if he could do anything more that would improve my assessment. Guess what? Kiss the emotional engagement goodbye. While I want the guy to get his bonus, even employment hinges on those scores upon occasion, My feeling about the service went down rather than up. 12.1.6. More TGRs. Little is more important than big. Courtesies of a small and trivial character are the ones which strike deepest in the grateful and appreciating heart. Henry Clay. Let's not forget that small emotions are the great captains of our lives. Vincent van Gogh. In the world of real human beings with real human emotions, small is often bigger than big. That is, it's the little human stuff that sticks in our mind the longest. For example, I don't remember much about the Cadillacs at Carl Soule's dealership, but I have an indelible memory, 20 years later, of the showroom floral display that Mr. Marcus designed. Little is more important than big. 6 cases. Number 1. Clean glasses equals lifelong memory. Conveyance, Kingfisher Airlines. Location, approach to New Delhi. Flight attendant, may I clean your glasses, sir? After a seminar in Mumbai, I flew to New Delhi to meet my wife, who was working there with her home furnishings vendors. It was my first trip on Kingfisher Airlines. As we began our descent, the flight attendant walked down the business class aisle, about half the aircraft, asking each of us with glasses, most of us, if we wanted those glasses cleaned. A little thing? Of course it was important that the plane landed safely and on time, but I will remember the glasses wiping bit until, more or less literally, my last breath. Little thing? Nope. Try big, bigger, biggest thing. Number 2. Owner on the street. Several years ago, my wife and I flew to Chicago for New Year's Eve. We went for the express purpose of having dinner with two good friends. They chose one of this great restaurant city's top restaurants. The meal was fabulous, as expected. We stayed until just past midnight. Most diners decided to leave at about the same time. It was a bitter cold Chicago night with wind coming off the lake. We went out to try the difficult pre-Uber task of hailing a cab. Outside, in that merciless cold, we saw someone in a beautiful light dress running back and forth, practically dragging cabs to the curbside. That someone was none other than the restaurant's owner. Wow. I'd add that she was always on the short list of most influential foodies in food-mad Chicago. I remember the meal. And I remember the lovely time we had with our friends and the well-worth-it trip from the East Coast. But mostly, I remember the owner on the street passionately pursuing cabs in the bitter cold for her guests. Number 3. Over the Brutal Hill. My wife and I, as I've reported before, spend a bit over 2 months every North American winter in New Zealand on Golden Bay at the top of the South Island. We rent a car and, frankly, are too frugal to pay 60 days' worth of the exorbitant Hertz or Avis rates. Hence, we use a local company and end up with a manageable tab. Last year, I drove Susan about 25 miles from our tiny cottage to a ferry dock, where she took a short hop to a trailhead and went off for a full day's walk. After dropping her and wandering around a bit, I planned to head for home. I would come back about 7 hours later. However, when I got to the car, I couldn't find the key. I searched and searched to no avail. There was no use going home because we didn't have a spare key. It was a Sunday, and I decided to call the rental car manager who we'd gotten to know over the years. Frankly, I had no idea what he could do for me. It wasn't cab country, but maybe I could hitchhike home and then get a neighbor to pick up Susan. Our rental pal was genuinely sorry I'd gotten myself in a jam. He asked me to hold on for a minute. He came back and said, "Problem solved. I like to take my wife and mother-in-law for a Sunday ride sometimes. I'll come over and bring you a spare key." There's more to the story. He was, in fact, 60 miles away in the town of Nelson, and between him and me was a brutal hill with, it said, about 200 switchbacks. The trip was a major undertaking by any standard. Nonetheless, he and his family came over the hill after an hour and a half slog and delivered the key. "No worries," he said. To say that his act of kindness is memorable is totally inadequate. I can only say that I've recommended his company to everyone I could think of, done blog posts on it, and in general tried my best to lionize him. His drive over the hill has probably even had a tiny impact on New Zealand tourism. I use the story to illustrate to friends what a neighborly attitude we typically find in the land of the Kiwi. Number 4. Advanced pneumatic engineering. My granddaughter, age 4 at the time, came with her parents to visit us on the south coast of Massachusetts. We are about 5 minutes from Buzzards Bay. Among other things, I got Zoe a cute dragon float to play with at the beach. When it came time to inflate it, I was out of luck. The toy had a weird valve, and my bike pump wouldn't fit. I decided to try the local service station, about 10 miles away. Well, their air hose coupling device wouldn't work either. It's a longish story, but the short version is that a station mechanic I knew jury-rigged a fitting, but the job wasn't easy. At one point, there were no fewer than 3 of them working to inflate Zoe's dragon float. Eventually, the job was done, and back I went to the beach. I took a picture of the 3 guys at work on Zoe's float. Among other things, I put the picture on a slide and used it in a speech to car dealers. Also, just a little bit later, we had a car problem and should have taken our vehicle to the dealership. Instead, we took it to that local service station for what amounted to an $800 job. Number 5. Prize-worthy stone sculpture. We put in a new driveway at our Massachusetts residence. There were wetlands involved, a complex and drawn-out town and state approval process, and by the time all the signatures were collected, we had but 3 weeks to construct a complicated driveway through forest and rock. The 3 weeks or else bit came from a permit that established when we had to be finished based on a looming endangered species migration period. Susan and I were away in England when most of the hectic road construction was in process. When we got home and traversed the new driveway for the first time, halfway along we literally stopped and gasped. Accurate word choice, no hyperbole. The time for the job had been insane based on the project's complexity. For example, along the new roadway there was a sizable cut in a hillside, perhaps 50 yards long, and another 100 yards along there was a significant amount of rock that had to be removed and somehow disposed of. The gasp came from the fact that the new rough hillside cut now featured a sculptural wall worthy of a landscaping prize. The contractor had taken the removed rock further down the road, moved it to the hillside, and created a work of art. When various of our friends saw it, it's fair to say that all of them more or less gasped as well. We went to thank the contractor, and he was actually upset. He said that because of the timing constraints, he'd had to do a slapdash job on the stone wall and would improve it later. He apologized for this incredible piece of unbidden work he had done in very, very short order and with no requested supplement to the fixed price bid. Memorable? Gross understatement. This is how a local driveway contractor becomes a model of excellence and a priceless community asset. Number 6. Unexpected snow. I was off on a trip to God knows where. I'm always off on a trip to God knows where. I had a car and driver pick me up for the 75-mile ride to the Boston airport. I've used the company for years. They specialize in professionals like me, and the drivers are always dressed in a suit. The driver arrived a bit early, and I, in turn, was running a bit late. That was problematic, given that we had just had a surprise dump of about 6 inches of snow. I finally got ready to roll and headed out the front door. I did a double take. There was the driver, suited up as usual, shoveling the heavy wet snow on our rather long front walk. He was nonchalant about it and apologized for rummaging in a shed about 25 yards away in search of a snow shovel. Yet another, remember until my last breath. Small is greater than big. Q.E.D. All hail. Clean glasses. The owner on the street. The nasty drive over the hill. Zoe's inflated beach toy. The great stone sculpture. The unexpectedly shoveled driveway. 12.1.7. TGRs. Little is more important than big. Replication. How do we increase the odds of our team members making gestures like the ones I've just described here? The answer is fourfold. 1. Hire nice, empathetic people whose sensibilities would naturally lead them to do things like those described above. 2. Create a cultural norm of take the time to be helpful to outsiders and teammates alike. Encourage people who go off the clock. Support those who do more than chase the last 0.001% of efficiency improvement. That is, who hustle out onto the street in the icy cold to hail cabs for customers. 3. To use a hopelessly hackneyed phrase, walk the talk is a prerequisite. If the seniors are consistently seen shoveling the walk or driving on a Sunday across a twisty hill road, emulation will most likely follow. 4. Applause. By hook or by crook, unearth these gestures and privately and publicly recognize them. 12.1.8. Sourcing TGRs. Granite Rock's All Hands Approach. Granite Rock of Watsonville, California is a construction company in the seemingly boring business of providing road rock, concrete, and asphalt to its clients. Among many other things, Granite Rock won a Baldrige Award, the highest national honor for product and service quality. The basis, say the owners, is the company's people-first core value. Sometime back, I was invited to give a customer service seminar for Granite Rock. I was prepared to give my standard pitch, but the CEO wanted me instead to participate in an open mic seminar. Normally, clients do not do much, if any, prep for such an event. Granite Rock was the exception. The audience was the entire company, including concrete truck drivers, receptionists, and accountants. They had been asked to prepare by doing the following. For the 2 weeks prior to the program, they were to formally collect examples of good and not-so-good service in their day-to-day affairs. Grocery store, laundry, movie theater, doctor's office, etc. These cases would be the data for the ensuing exercise. In effect, they had accumulated dozens and dozens of examples of TGWs and TGRs. We could then collectively analyze them. For example, the person at the checkout acted like an automaton, not even a hello. The bottom line was that it was a brilliant event. TGRs to try out at Granite Rock and TGWs to avoid came in droves from drivers, receptionists, the first line, and senior managers, all of whom had been given the same assignment. Boring industry, great inclusive approach, giant master to try list, immediate implementation opportunities. 12.1.9. Little is greater than big. Summing up. Productivity is of the utmost importance to most any firm. Zero doubt of that. On the other hand, cases of going over the moon for the customer have the reverberations of a Richter 7.5 earthquake. Recall Vernon Hill's dictum, cost cutting is a death spiral, our whole story is growing revenue. I have observed his Metro Bank employees up close. Their job is to engage the customer, remember, fan to be, and that can take time. And that extra time spent is very okay in the Metro culture. Likewise, I am a 50-year client of the giant insurance company, USAA. Whenever I have business with them, all of which is done through their single call center at the company's San Antonio headquarters, I am demonstrably struck that the person I'm chatting with acts as if she has all the time in the world for me. Upon questioning her in the midst of a recent transaction, I was assured that there was no ticking stopwatch next to her desk. She was indeed encouraged to deal at an unhurried pace with my issues. It may sound absurd, but I honestly feel when I hung up that I had a friend in San Antonio. Some reaction to an insurance company contact, eh? You want the driver to shovel a snowy walk or the call center agent to form a bond with the policyholder? Create a culture where such acts are cherished. It may cost you 1.634% on the quarterly productivity scorecard, but I almost guarantee you that the cost will be paid back 10 times over with additional revenue and sterling recommendations. 12.1.10.1. TGRs. Little greater than big on steroids. There is a facet of the little is greater than big story that is worth singling out. It sometimes comes under the heading of nudgery. Sometimes it is referred to as part of behavioral economics. Regardless of moniker, the idea is that tiny changes can have enormous impact. Consider. Number one, big carts equals 1.5x equals dollars, dollars, dollars. To possibly spur sales of physically bigger items, for example, microwave ovens, Walmart tests an increase in shopping cart size. Yawn, right? Enlarged cart. Physically big item, like those microwave ovens, sales soar 50%. 50% more big items at Walmart equals dollars, 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 plus, plus, plus. Number two, glaring eyes equals minus 62%. Bike theft rampant in European city. Test. Put simple posters above bike rack areas with a pair of glaring eyes. Theft down 62% in experimental areas. Number three. 6.5 feet away equals minus 63%. Locate the serving plate 6.5 feet or more from the dining room table after first helpings are doled out. 6.5 feet equals second helpings reduced by 63% versus leaving the serving plate on the table. Number four, Las Vegas casino driveway. Slight curve equals 2x equals dollars, dollars, dollars. From Natasha Dow Shull, Addiction by Design, Machine Gambling in Las Vegas. When designer Friedman slightly curved the right angle of an entrance corridor to one property, he was, quote, amazed at the magnitude of change in pedestrian behavior, unquote. The percentages entering increased from one-third to nearly two-thirds. Slightly curved driveway equals twice as many patrons equals more than a $1 billion impact. Number five. Shape alteration equals 2x, 100% improvement. Change conference room table shape from oblong to round. Number of comments doubles. Number of people commenting approaches 100%. Number six, increase avatar height equals increase self-esteem. Jaron Lanier, you are not a gadget. When I work with experimental digital gadgets, I am always reminded of how small changes in the details of a digital design can have profound, unforeseen effects on the experiences of the people who are playing with it. For instance, Stanford University researcher Jeremy Balanson has demonstrated that changing the height of one's avatars in immersive virtual reality transforms self-esteem and social self-perception. It is impossible to work with information technology without also engaging in social engineering. Frightening. Ease of altering basic personality trait. Number seven. Checklist equals 11% to 0%. Johns Hopkins Hospital, ICU. The power of a mere checklist. Dr. Peter Pronovost, head of the ICU at Johns Hopkins University Hospital, develops a simple checklist to deal with ICU line infections. There was at least one procedural error in a third of IV lines when Pronovost launched the checklist program. Significant culture change was required for implementation. For example, nurses were given permission and required to stop a procedure if the doctor or anyone else is not adhering to the checklist. Within 1 year, the ICU line infection rate went from 11% to zero. Concerned with high error rates in his Johns Hopkins ICU, Dr. Peter Pronovost, inspired by pilots' checklists, decided to test their use in his own backyard. For cultural reasons, for example, having nurses stop docs who skip steps, Implementing this apparently simple idea was far easier said than done. It's at first blush a humble notion, but the checklist, applied well beyond ICUs, has amounted to a miracle cure for many patient safety issues and saved literally thousands of lives. Number 8. SOX equals plus 10,000. Researchers at the National Health Service in the UK estimate that if, upon admission, every one of their hospital inpatients was automatically issued compression hose to wear, as many as 10,000 lives lost to deep vein thrombosis would be saved every year. Bottom line, bigger shopping cart at Walmart, glaring eyes poster near the bike rack, moving the serving plate away from the table, slightly curving the casino driveway, changing from rectangular to round table, altering computer game avatar height, checklist in the ICU, compression socks for all patients. Lesson: an infinite, literally, number of low-budget, quickly testable, high-potential ideas are lying about waiting to be discovered and tested if, to use a critical phrase from the innovation chapter, one and all are engaged in constant WTTMSW and serious play. 12.1.10.2. Testing small ideas with enormous potential behavioral impact through continuous serious play. The process: amenable to rapid experimentation. Failure is free. No visibility, no bad PR, no money lost. Quick implementation, quick rollout. An attitude: whoever tries the most stuff wins, serious play required. A power position not required to launch experiments. 12.1.10.3. A word of caution. Nudgery can do exceptional things. Save lives in the ICU, cut bike theft, and so on. But the fact is that the practice of nudging is anything but innocent. My cautionary term for it is BSBM, blatant subconscious behavior manipulation. For example, virtually everyone on, say, Google's staff is being paid handsome sums to de facto invisibly manipulate people's behavior, and they are getting better and better and better at it as the power of their tools continues to increase exponentially. At the very least, that should set off high-volume alarm bells. The most apparently satisfactory answer is transparency, but there is just too much BSBM going on for transparency to be a good defense. Moreover, transparency has become so overused that it is effectively meaningless. And, alas, given the volume of manipulative acts we are subjected to, forewarned is forearmed is not much use either. It's laughable, actually. While I judge that awareness and vigilance are effectively futile, at the very least, we cannot let activity with this much potential for harm pass unmentioned. Of course, behavioral manipulation is what, say, advertising is and always has been about. But this time, it really is different, or has the potential to be. In the age of big data and algorithm power, the manipulation becomes almost infinitely fine-grained, invisible, and, no small thing, astoundingly individualized. Inadvertent damage is almost certain. This note is to myself as much as to you. I get jazzed by the cool examples such as the bigger shopping cart or the curved driveway. What fun! But then I need to remind myself, and yes, you, that there is more to it than meets the eye. 12.1.11. Summary, TGRs. Test them, fast. Fix them, fast. Test them again. Fast. Manage them. Measure them. Start today. In closing, An ongoing TGR enhancement process is a strategic asset. The process ought to be explicit and formal and measured and rewarded. 12.2, the services added narrative. It helps to be as helpful as you can be. 12.2.1, services added, avoiding commodity hell. You are headed for commodity hell if you don't have services. Lou Gerstner, former CEO, IBM. As noted in Chapter 3, Gerstner took over a sickly IBM in the early 1990s and rejuvenated the company with a services-added strategy. In particular, he took a tiny adjunct client support unit and turned it into a $50 billion business, IBM Global Services. IBM's aims were encompassing. As Business Week reported at the time, never mind computers and tech services, IBM's radical new focus is on revamping customers' operations and running them. Bottom line, IBM, International Business Machines, became IBM, International Business Machines. At one level, the story couldn't be simpler. The more helpful you are to the customer, depth and breadth of the relationship and services rendered, the more revenue you can generate and the likelier you are to hold on to the business. With that in mind, I got out my editing pen and took the original business-like title of this section, Services of Every Conceivable Flavor Added, and substituted, It Helps to Be as Helpful as You Can Be. That's the point. Given the web, artificial intelligence, globalization, and the like, we need to scramble to add more and more and more value. Consider the first two subsections of this chapter, Scintillating Emotionally Compelling Design, Adding Ever More Memorable Things Gone Right, that is, soft stuff, human stuff. Now this section, Be More Helpful, Damn It, or Else. 12.2.2, the passing of lumpy object, aircraft engines, primacy. I do not think I'm exaggerating when I say I did a classic double take after reading this sentence in The Economist. Rolls-Royce now earns more from tasks such as managing clients' overall procurement strategies and maintaining aerospace engines it sells than it does from making them. Thus, the quintessential lumpy object producer, akin to yesteryear's IBM, principally becomes a services-added company that also happens to make lumpy objects. In particular, note, overall procurement strategies. It's not just a matter of maintaining the lumps you sell, it's becoming a central strategic player in the client's full-bore business activities. 12.2.3.1. UPS to UPS. Emphasis upended. Packages to services. Big Brown's new bag. UPS aims to be the traffic manager for corporate America. Headline, Business Week. It's all about solutions. We talk with customers about how to run better, stronger, cheaper supply chains. We have 1,000 engineers who work with customers. Bob Stoffel, UPS Senior Executive. UPS means complex services. In fact, the company has service marked UPS equals United Problem Solvers. From swarms of brown trucks tossing packages, lumps, onto the porch, to, at the apex of the firm's contemporary work, enterprise-wide logistics systems overlords and full-fledged strategic partners with giant companies. Multi-billion-dollar integrated supply chain solutions. Night versus day. 12.2.3.2. Matchless Demo, Spur to Action. Burn into your cranium the UPS example. It is a perfect case of an excellent organization expanding and redefining its fundamental purpose and way of being, and switching from a brute force, one-way business, into a cooperative, co-inventing, full services business and profit-enhancing partner with the client. At the highest level of analysis, trucking company to intellectual property-based firm. Yes, UPS is doubtless a jillion times bigger than your unit or company, but that switch from hard stuff-driven enterprise into soft stuff IP-driven integrated services enterprise is an invaluable and clear-cut lesson for most of us. For example, me, significantly shifting emphasis from formal speeches and books to web-driven activities. 12.2.4. Geeks equal strategic repositioning. 1. LAN installation company, 3% local market share. 2. Renamed Geek Squad, local market share soars to 30% with name change. 3. Geek Squad acquired by one of its local clients, Best Buy. 4. Geek Squad becomes the centerpiece of Best Buy's strategic positioning. The LAN, Local Area Network Installation Company, had a 3% market share in Greater Minneapolis, helped by the experienced marketing gurus Joe Pine and Jim Gilmore. LAN changed its name to the more personable Geek Squad and watched local market share soar by a factor of 10. The reincarnated Geeks also began to do some work for neighboring Minneapolis-based electronics retailer Best Buy. Eventually, giant Best Buy bought the Geek Squad and made the Geek Squad's customer success, that is, solutions to customers' electronics problems, philosophy, the epicenter of Best Buy's overall market positioning. The Geek Squad helped put Best Buy competitor Circuit City out of business. Faced with fearsome web sales competition, Circuit City cut costs and floor staff. Best Buy took the opposite path, went on a services-added binge, and has so far lived to tell the tale. 12.2.5. IDEO's progression. Product design to product design training to enterprise innovation culture training and consulting. 20 years ago, IDEO sat atop or near the top of the list of product design firms. Their creativity was so high that clients begged them to teach the IDEO way of design. IDEO did just that. But as their clients viewed IDEO's continuing string of successes and ever higher profile, they became interested in yet a higher order issue, IDEO's overall approach to innovating. Next thing you knew, IDEO was doing systemic, strategic, culture change work with giant enterprises on the overall process of innovation. Climb that services added ladder. Product design to strategic innovation partner. The sky is the limit. 12.2.6. Cautionary note. Shifting to a radical services-added focus means first and foremost, and here we go again, a radical internal culture shift. Box-making and IP-driven integrated strategic services partners are, to say the least, two different kettles of fish swimming in two different oceans. Many a well-intended strategic shift to services has come a cropper. 12.2.7. Services added. Wither distributors. Distributors equal middlemen. And middlemen? Done for. Over. Kaput. It simply won't work anymore. The web word is direct, and the middleman becomes an expensive and delay-inducing anachronism. Unless. Alternate distributors role fit for 2018. Value-added client service maestros. For example, systems integrator, subcontractor manager, strategic advisor, employee trainer, full-scale partner. That is, a de facto general services store ready to do any damn thing the client would like to have done. A new, expanded, encompassing role for my distributors. I spoke in early 2016 to industrial equipment distributors. They were subject to merciless attack on all fronts. In particular, via the web's ever exponentially growing presence, these middlemen were increasingly being bypassed and pinched by both ends of the chain. One, equipment manufacturers were going directly to the end user, and two, end users bypassing the distributor to seek out the producers on their own. I trotted out the likes of the UPS model, where the package distributor radically redefines its role to be a full-service systems integrator, manager, strategic partner for major clients. The distributor, UPS in this instance, unabashedly aims to be the tail that wags the client dog, and the camel with its nose and every other body part way inside the tent, bringing to bear its encompassing industry expertise and taking on more and more of the client's previously internal activities. Here then is the case I made. The imaginative, determined, effective distributor, my audience member, because of its breadth of knowledge, numerous long-time customers on both ends of the sale and purchase process, and mastery of the entire supply chain, is particularly well-positioned to perform encompassing service activities for its clients. Though it may sound jargony, the trick is going from basic, readily definable buy-and-sell services to full-scale business partner through the creation of integrated service packages, which assist in strategically realigning and even reinventing the client's business. This was the bold IBM Global Services approach. We will de facto and often de jure run your business for you was the implicit, pre-damned explicit message, which resulted in the creation of that enterprise within an enterprise with, eventually, revenue of $50 billion. The former distributor, in fact, has an extraordinary potential advantage in expanding relationships. Most of its clients are not giants, and their reach is therefore limited, as is the likely sophistication, lack thereof, of their staff. Our distributor-turned-full-service business partner should readily be able to bring to the party a broad variety of experiences from dozens upon dozens of settings, which can be, when well used, invaluable to any given client. I felt I had stuck my neck further out than was justified with my idea of transforming a mere handler of goods, middleman, into a first-rate client-partnering professional services firm. Needless to say, I was delighted when the association executive director gave me feedback about 3 months later that the presentation had been very well received and that he, in fact, from the association's oversight perch, was organizing workshops aimed at understanding and codifying sophisticated value-added opportunities for his member distributors. He added, not surprisingly, as usual, the rich get richer. Our best distributors were already heading down the playing field you described, but they are the ones you seem to have spurred to even further action. A couple are experimenting with a broader and deeper set of offerings aimed at increasing linkages with their best clients. 12.2.8 TaskRabbit, the Uber of everything. Perhaps the purest model of Services Unlimited is TaskRabbit. Its vetted part-timers will more or less do any chore for any customer. Here are a few TaskRabbit facts as of early 2017. The company was launched in Boston as Run My Errand in 2008 and changed its name to TaskRabbit and moved to San Francisco in 2010. TaskRabbit has raised $50 million in venture funding since its founding. Taskers average $35 an hour. TaskRabbit launched its first overseas service in 2013 in London. TaskRabbit, as I write, is profitable in each of the 18 cities in which it offers services. The Verge, a technology news service, called TaskRabbit the Uber of everything. Fast Company, in a cover story, gave TaskRabbit a slot on its list of world's most innovative companies of 2017. The report here is indeed brief, but the company certainly deserves an entry in this section on imagination and services added. Moreover, the spirit of TaskRabbit can be translated into any and every enterprise, from 1 to 100,001 employees. 12.2.9. The unlimited reach of the professional service firm model. It is an age of intellectual capital or bust. It is an age of project-centric fluid organizations or bust. Good news. To join the parade, the wheel need not be reinvented for the likes of our Rolls-Royce or UPS friends. There is a tested set of role models. 12.2.9.1. The way of the PSF, professional service firm. There's a large set of firms of all sizes, up to several hundred thousand employees, that have played since their founding, for example, my former employer, McKinsey & Company, 1926, in the game called Intellectual Capital Is All, far beyond aircraft engines and big brown delivery trucks. Projects, projects, nothing but projects. Everybody is working on projects all the time. Shape-shifting is the norm. The organization never has the same shape 2 days running. Talent is the whole ball game. People First is not a slogan. It's a life or death whole ball game proposition. Client engagement is the way of being. Professionals live for their clients, eat with their clients, and are intimately and often profitably entangled with their clients. I've been arguing the PSF case since the early 90s. As outsourcing started to pick up speed, and then artificial intelligence began to spread its wings, it was clear that the future of the bureaucratic, quote-unquote, department, as it had been since time immemorial, was shaky. After all, what did we most often call our myriad of departments? The likes of cost centers, bureaucratic impediments, and so on. Sure, they did work that needed to be done, but they fell under the heading of necessary evil that drags down the P&L. By the PSF case, I meant that I could imagine that department, cost center, impediment, becoming a hotbed of ideas that would propel the entire enterprise toward a rosier future. In my model, every internal department would be transformed into a full-fledged PSF, and, by extension, the corporation as a whole would become no less than an IP-intensive, innovation- and growth-focused mega PSF. Wretchedly jargony, but directionally accurate. 12.2.9.2. Corporate value-added bonanza. Ubiquitous internal PSF transformation. Here's the way the story might unfold. The training sub-department, for example, is reincarnated as Training Inc. A 14-person unit or cost center becomes a full-fledged professional service firm embedded, at least for now, in a 50-person HR department in a $200 million business unit in perhaps a $3 billion corporation. That reincarnated cost center, now Training Inc., aims to be best of breed, not the best department in the division or firm, but the best damn training organization in, say, the entire industry. Its product, service packages, would exude excellence and wow. Magazines would feature it. Its IP would grow like Topsy and achieve renown. Training Inc. would add immense value to the corporation as a whole by upgrading the quality of every member of the staff and pursue outside work as well. The above, taken as a whole, is asking for a lot and would hardly be the norm, but you doubtless get the idea. The former department and its fellow departments would be viewed as corporate assets rather than liabilities, and engines of progress to be cherished and developed and integrated into the overall enterprise strategy, not cost centers to be outsourced or replaced by high-speed algorithms as soon as is humanly possible.